and Dustin May, and he got rocked. He got knocked around a little bit too. But Gonsolin had gotten, you know, beat up by the Braves too. I was hoping they were going to throw him in Game Seven. So they threw Dustin May, the redhead. So the Braves didn't get a chance to touch him again. But the Rays get up off the mat, make it a series now, 1-1. All right.
1-1. Yeah.
They're back.
We love it.
Sorry, hitting the long ball again. And the Dodgers, they held that lineup down enough. It happened. I don't know. Like, one of the hardest things. It's one of the hardest things to watch for me as a baseball guy, like seeing just the difference in like starting pitching.
Yeah.
And like the way they handle starting pitching. Like each team is just doing something different now. And like it does seem that you just try to go five innings now as a starter. And that's relatively new. Whenever I was really into baseball, I mean, just, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, like it hadn't really started then. But now, you know, really the Kansas City Royals changed that, I think. I give them the credit for kind of being the innovators there when I'm watching. The Mavs changed so much. There's so many good bullpen arms now. There's like every team's got like four guys that can come in and throw 95, 98, just hard throwers that can come in and give you an inning, which is one of the reasons baseball had to go to the three batter minimum. Mm-hmm. Because every team had 15 bullpen guys, and you were just getting a pitching change almost every other at-bat, at least. Sometimes every at-bat. So that's been the toughest thing to me to watch, because like last night, Blake Snell was dealing. You know, he had no hitter. And the next thing you know, boom, give up a home run, then a single. And they're like, okay, you're out. He didn't even go five innings after just having a no-hitter and like 80 pitches, which, I mean, the Rays are playing for their lives there, so it's understandable. But the Kansas City Royals, when they went to their World Series, both of them, I guess, because they lost 1 year and then won the next year, right? That's how they did it. They lost to the Giants in seven, then turned around and won it. Who'd they beat? The Cardinals? No. Wouldn't have been the Cardinals, would it have?
So they lost the Giants in 14. Uh-huh. Try to think who they beat in 15. NL team, obviously.
They beat the Mets.
The Mets.
Yes, yep. Yes, that's right.
Poor Mets.
That's
right. Poor Mets. But yeah, the, you know, 14 and 15, they're basically like, yeah, we just need pitchers that can go five innings, and then we're going to bring in our studs out of the bullpen, and, you know, the game's going to be over. If you let us have a lead after five, you're done for. And that's essentially what happened for them for 2 years in a row as they went deep into the World Series, coming up short 1 year, which, ironically enough, they came up short to just a stud starting pitcher, the last stud starting pitcher. Have we had a guy put a team on his back like that since? Madison Bumgarner? Which, I mean, I don't feel like Madison Bumgarner was the same after that. Like, I feel like his career, I mean, he didn't necessarily thrive after that. Now, contractually, he made his money and all that. But, like, he kind of, I want to say his number just kind of dipped after that. That was kind of the, you know, obviously the pinnacle of his career, which makes sense. I mean, you shut down a team for three games in the World Series. That's the pinnacle. But I don't even feel like we even had a starting pitcher. Just because he came in and was just unstoppable?
Well, Scherzer pitched three games of the World Series last year on 2 days rest, but he wasn't that dominant.
Yeah, but he tried.
He pitched 1, 5, and 7.
Okay.
But the 7 was just like kind of like patching it together. He did like three innings.
Yeah, you've seen that before. Like, I mean, yeah. Even going back, I mean, yeah, you've seen guys, because I mean, they're scheduled to throw every other day, like a bullpen session. So mm-hmm. Theoretically, you can go throw your 30 pitches in a game. Mm-hmm. But I just remember Bumgarner like just being like, "Nope, I'm the baddest dude on the field right now, and you're not going to get any hits. You're not going to get any hits off me, and I'm going to win this World Series. I'm going to be World Series MVP." And then last night, yeah, like I said, I'm just watching it, and like we're getting like a, you know, five innings at most from a starting pitcher, and it's kind of that way. I mean, Kershaw even went like, what, six, even though he was being dominant too. Just protected starting pitching. So it's been an adjustment for me as I've known it's happening, but to watch. Which kind of, you know, makes these – it kind of makes these series hard to predict. Because, I mean, you look at the Braves-Dodgers series last series, and they had – the Braves had two starting pitchers they felt good about. Right? I mean, that's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
You had two guys you felt good at the top, and then you were just trying to piece it together after that. In Game 3, they had Kyle Wright get rocked, and then Game 4, Wilson came in and was really good. But you know, you didn't feel good about either one of those guys. And then the Dodgers have, like, Buehler and Kershaw – and then that's really it that they feel comfortable with. And like I said, these teams just have these super bullpens. Like, you know, Game 3 might just – I guess it's going to be who? Buehler versus Charlie Morton. So Morton's kind of – Morton's quietly on a run, sort of kind of like Bumgarner is. Now, he hasn't had to go pitch extra games on short rest or anything, but he's, I think, 3-0 with like a sub-1 ERA so far in the playoffs, I think is the number I saw.
Isn't Urias undefeated for the Dodgers?
I haven't seen him start, though. I've only seen him come out of the bullpen.
Well, he started against the Braves.
What game did he start against the Braves? I don't remember him starting.
Game 3 when Kyle Wright did.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't think he did. I thought he came in out of the bullpen and pitched like...
He pitched Game 7 out of the bullpen.
Okay.
And he got the win in that game, too.
Yeah. Are you sure he started Game 3?
Mm-hmm. He might not have got the win because he might not have gone five innings. That might be the only thing.
I remember him coming in, although maybe maybe I don't remember because it was just a beatdown. That was the game, you know, they scored 10 runs, 11 runs in the first inning. Be curious to see what the ratings were because they had gone down, or they had been hovering around 9 million, 9.7 million for game one, which was record lows. Still better than any of the NBA Finals games, but still record lows for the World Series. I mean, America's Pastime usually all come together for the World Series, and it, you know, ironically enough, or maybe just this is the reason why, it was it beat the previous low set by the last time the Rays were in the World Series. On a Saturday night, Game 3. So I'd be curious to see if anybody tuned in to watch this these two teams, because the Rays just don't seem like a team that the general public's going to come around and care about.
Yeah.
I mean, just watching, like, they've got most of their guys I've never heard of. And like I said, I don't consider myself a baseball fan, but, like, I consider myself knowledgeable about baseball. At least I am, you know, especially for a team that's in first place. Like, I know, the Yankee series, I, you know, became accustomed to a couple of these guys, but, like, you know, getting there now, like, I thought Choi, you know, the first baseman, was one of their best players.
G-Man?
Yeah. Yep. And then I saw game one, he doesn't even play. I mean, I get that it was a lefty you're going up against, and, you know, most of these guys are righty-lefty dependent, but I'm just like, I thought he was a stud everyday first baseman, and then, you know, get there, he's not even in game one, so I'm like, I don't really know anything. I know the Alcantara, what is his name?
You mean a Rosarina?
A Rosarina, yeah.
Yeah.
A Rosarina. I knew it sounded something like Macarena. A Rosarina.
I've done the research. Urias is 4-0.
Right, but has he been starting all four of those games?
Every game but the last game.
Okay.
When he came in game 7.
Okay. Well, good for him. So he'll be their starter, I guess, in game 4 today or in a couple of days? Is that what they're thinking?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Which, I mean, he's been pretty good. They should trust him by now. So they still got two more good arms to throw, I guess. Ray's got Morton, though. Morton's been a stud. So, you know, it's officially a series. I don't know how much the general public cares about it, but it was the biggest story of the night last night. 1-1. At least they're going to make them sweat a little bit. Put some pressure on the Dodgers. I want to see just a close series, a pressured series. It'll be fun. 1-1. Dodgers still favored to win the series. Still favored in game 3. But we'll see if the Rays can. They looked like they found a little something last night. They finally had their the Lau guy in the 2-hole finally started hitting again. He had been struggling. Rays Dodgers, feel the fever. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. We got some, you know, some big-ish news, at least, in the NFL coming out since we... you know, went off the air yesterday. One of the biggest names, we talked about him, Antonio Brown. You know, we started talking about his comeback in the Ravens, and it turns out it doesn't look like it's going to be the Ravens. Adam Schefter reported that when Antonio Brown is back on the field, he might be wearing that ugly neon jersey for the Seattle Seahawks.
Hey-o. Uh-oh. Gives them another weapon.
Which then Pete Carroll's also like, yeah, we're still working on the NFL to reinstate Josh Gordon while we're at it.
Jeez.
I forgot they had Josh Gordon, so, yeah. You know, it's very possible that they...
have a loaded receiving core?
Yeah, I mean, that they have two of the best... I mean, assuming Antonio Brown has like 85% of what we saw last time we saw him, and he's, you know, had nothing to do but train, you know, the Seahawks could come in with the best 1-2 punch in the league. Not with Josh Gordon, but I'm saying with DK Metcalf and Antonio Brown, if they got him.
So best top four in the league with Metcalf, Gordon, Brown, Lockett.
Yeah, and you add that. Yeah, I mean, that would be the best receiving core in the league. Now, I don't think it's going to help their defense. Well, yeah. First of all, you're making a face. You're still taking the Cowboys, Draven? You're making a face at me saying the best receiving core.
Oh, yeah, no. Dallas would still be better. But also, do you really want this guy? Do you even really want AB? This whole guy that's just a big distraction, man? Come on.
I think I take my chances for an 8-game sample. I'm not giving him a big deal, but I'm like, hey, you have 1-year tryout with us. And, well, like, I would think, like, obviously something went really wrong with Antonio Brown last year, the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Now, like, it's on one hand, it could be like, hey, he's just a psychotic, he's schizophrenic, he's undiagnosed bipolar, whatever. Like, so there could be that stuff, and maybe he's got medication, maybe he's good to go, and you can keep him on his meds, and he won't be like Kanye West, you know, flipping out every now and then. Or it could have just been like, hey, man, like, this guy's going through a lot of stress, and he just kind of had a meltdown. And, like, you know, I think everyone, I mean, surely if you haven't gained any perspective in 2020 on, like, what happens whenever all this pressure starts pulling in on you at one time, like, I mean, Antonio Brown went from, you know, basically getting out of a job he didn't like, being happy, and then having that taken away from him by what he considered baseless accusations of sexual misconduct, which, by the way, we haven't heard anything about it since he got cut by the Patriots. Like, I mean, if there was something to it, I'm not saying there was or wasn't, but we haven't heard anything about it since then. So, like, maybe he just had a bad moment at a bad time and, like, you know, gave into the pressure, and now he's in a better place. Because it wasn't like he had any quote-unquote mental breakdowns while in Pittsburgh outside of the time he got mad that he wasn't getting the ball enough and Juju Smith-Schuster was like kind of replacing him. Yeah. And he wanted a new contract and all that stuff. So you ask if I take the chance with him if I'm the Seahawks. Yeah, for half a year. Because Pete Carroll has a pretty good locker room.
That's what I was going to say. If you have a team that has a good culture in the locker room and everything, I think he would probably fit.
And Mr. Unlimited knows that he does not have unlimited chances to win a Super Bowl. And Antonio Brown, Mr. Big Chest, knows he does not have unlimited chances to be in the NFL. Like, if you can't go to Seattle and make it work with Russell Wilson for half a year, go ahead and kiss your opportunities to make millions of dollars goodbye. You know what I mean?
Does Seattle even really need him, though? The way they throw the ball over the field, I mean, they're fine.
Well, that's Russ my thing. Cook. If Antonio Brown can't rush the passer or play safety or cornerback, like, I don't know how much better he makes them. Now, he could just make their offense God mode. And next thing you know, the Seahawks could have a better offense than the Titans. Like, that's possible. Like, maybe this could catch them and surpass the Titans in terms of best offenses in the league. But, you know, you put Russell Wilson out there and you give him, like I said, if Antonio Brown has 85 or 90% of what he had last time we saw him, they have the best 1-2 punch at wide receiver. DK Metcalf is already, to me, borderline top five receiver.
And don't forget about Tyler Lockett.
No, I mean, Tyler Lockett's good. I mean, I don't think of him as a lead or anything. I think of him. He's a good.
He's a good number two.
Yeah.
He's
a good number two. He'd be an awesome number three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Or hell, a number four if Josh Gordon gets back. I don't know. But, like, you know, to me, it doesn't. To me, their problem is not scoring points. Their problem is stopping people.
I guess you don't need to stop people if you score every time, though.
It's true. You got to score every time, though. Because you might be giving up points every time.
I will say, Lindsey Jones tweeted out the NFL is still investigating into the sexual assault allegations that remain open. So it's not really, I guess, official if he's going to be.
Well, they already. 8-game suspended, though, right?
Yeah, but I'm just saying they're still kind of investigating. So there could be further discipline that kind of comes in, is basically what she tweeted.
That'd be wild.
I'd be surprised by that just because there was such a push by the Players Association. Yeah. And like everybody was like, hey, give this guy his punishment.
I think so too. But
if I guess there could be more come out.
Right, that's the thing. If there's any more information or anything, or if the NFL, she says if the NFL decides there are additional conduct policy violations, that's when they could further the penalty or suspend him the rest of the year. Like you said, I doubt that's going to happen, but I just thought that was interesting that the investigation is still technically open.
It's just not a shut case, I guess.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Which, that's understandable. Like, if more comes out, then Antonio Brown should be punished. Like, right. Like I said, I haven't heard anything about it recently.
No.
And if you're Antonio Brown, you have to be like, oh, this is just a ploy to hurt me, and everyone's out to get me, blah, blah, blah. But either way, you know, we talked about him yesterday, and then Adam Schefter comes in and reports, hey, Antonio Brown could be back on the field in Seattle. And then I immediately went in all my fantasy leagues and grabbed Antonio Brown.
Everybody was doing that. It was really funny. I was getting the updates on my phone, and then everybody just, Antonio Brown's added by blah, blah, blah.
You get updates when people add other people?
Yeah, I need to turn those notifications off. But, yeah, my Yahoo and ESPN sends me notifications with stuff.
That seems strange. Seems maddening. Seems like you'd just be constantly thinking about it.
It is annoying because I'm just like, I need to shut that off, but then I never go in and actually do it. But it was, I was seeing a lot of people adding Antonio Brown yesterday. I saw somebody tweet out something about being in a league with Adam Scheffner, and he added him and then did the report.
Right.
And they're like, well, it's tough being in a league with Adam.
It was like, it was at this moment he got the call about Antonio Brown. Yeah. And it was like, what's funny, he added him. The next thing you know, the breaking news came out like at 3
o'clock. Yeah. It's crazy, man.
Yeah, he was in on something there a little early. And then we got another wide receiver name. This one, I guess, probably close to equal as big as Antonio Brown. Now, I don't know if the game's still there, but the Baltimore Ravens, I guess, were like, okay, we're not getting Antonio Brown. Who's next on the list? Let's bring in Dez Bryant.
Dez Bryant. Bolstering that practice squad.
Dez Bryant signed to the practice squad. When was the last time Dez Bryant actually played? 2017? 2016?
I'd say 17 at least.
It was 2017. 2017, because 2018 was the year we didn't have. That's the year we traded for Amari Cooper. So, yeah. And he had that little run with the Saints, remember, and then he got hurt.
I don't remember him playing at all with the Saints. He didn't get on the field.
But he literally practiced like 2 or 3 days, and I think it tore his Achilles or tore something.
And then he's been out since then.
Yep.
He hasn't caught a pass since 2017. Last time he was on the field, 16 games, 830 yards. The whole thing was like him and Dak couldn't get on the same page, so I guess that checks out. 132 targets, only 69 catches. Not nice. Dez is the most overrated receiver we've had in the last 2 decades, I think. I mean, he's looking at stats.
The guy could only run 2 routes. He could only run like a slant or a go. Now he was throw it up a back shoulder.
Now, he was a beast in 2014.
Oh, yeah.
He was a beast in 2014.
Him and Romo jailed.
1,300 yards, 16 touchdowns. You know, the touchdowns matter a lot, I guess. Some receivers have the yards and catches but don't have the touchdowns. I guess Dez does get in the end zone. He's got, what, five seasons of at least 8 touchdowns? That's pretty good.
Yep.
3 double digits, 12, 13, and 16. Okay. I'm just looking at the catch percentage. I'm a big catch percentage guy. And, like, basically since 2014, he went 43%. How do you catch 43% of your passes? Although, I guess that was the year that Romo got hurt, right?
Yeah, Romo got hurt. We had Matt Castle at quarterback, and he was awful. Just awful.
But then 2016, 52%. 2017, 52%. So, there's been a steep decline. It'll be interesting to see if he's got anything left, because by now he's, like, what, 32, 33? He was 29-17, so he's at least like 32, 33.
Yeah, he's 31, it says on here.
Okay.
So.
Must have a December birthday. November. Is he a Christmas baby?
No, November.
Yeah.
November 4th.
I was going to say, I had to be coming soon.
Yep.
Maybe he'll catch a touchdown on his birthday.
You think he's going to even get a flight?
I mean, Baltimore needs receivers. Like, I mean, if I'm Dez Bryant, I'm looking and saying, hey, I can crack this rotation if I got 80% left, which, you know, I don't know if he has 80% left because, like I said, it's been 3 years since he's been on the field. Or 2 years, I guess. Two and a half years.
Plus that injury.
Plus the injury. I mean, an Achilles is tough. I mean, Achilles is tough. It's the toughest injury in sports. Other than, like, a broken neck. I can't imagine you come back from a broken neck. But, like, the Achilles is, like, the worst of the sports injuries. Especially you'd think for a wide receiver has to cut.
Yeah.
who wasn't that good of a route runner anyways. But if I'm Baltimore, I'm like, hey, can I trust him on the goal line? Can we have another goal line target besides Mark Andrews? Because right now our plan is just like, hey, is Mark Andrews open? Okay, throw it to him.
Lamar run.
is Mark Andrews not open? No. Okay, well, can we force the ball into Mark Andrews? Okay, no. Okay, well, Lamar run.
Yeah. No. Yeah, Dez could help in the red zone.
I mean, that's what I'm hoping. Because like Draven said, you know, go catch the back shoulder. Go box out on the goal line. I mean, he's always had a big body. There's a credit to that star, though. It's a credit to the Cowboys that Dez Bryant's still so valuable as a name 2.5 years later.
I know. Jeez.
Huge testament to the star. And then we had some more big news today. The Baltimore Ravens were like, hey, our offense, 18th in the league, but our defense is pretty good. Let's make it better. As they traded for Yannick Ngakoue. Minnesota was like, okay, well, we gave up a second-round pick for him. This isn't going so well for us. So let's try to sell and get something back. And they got a third-round pick for giving up Ngakoue. Ngakoue goes back to the AFC.
And the fifth-round pick in the year after.
They give up a fifth-round pick in the year after?
Yeah, they get a 2021 third and a 2022 conditional fifth-round pick.
I mean, if you look at what the Ravens are doing, though, I mean, like the GM, we all know they're just so well ran.
Yep. Yeah.
They're so well ran. And the last year, they have added Ngakoue, Marcus Peters, and Calais Campbell. And they've given up 3 fifth-round picks, a third-round pick, and a backup linebacker. Like, that was the cost for getting 3 really good players. They needed a cornerback. They got Marcus Peters. They needed a defensive tackle. They got Calais Campbell. They want to add to their pass rush. They got Yannick Ngakoue. So the Ravens trying to be like, you know what? This offense thing is cool, but it's not working for us in the playoffs. Remember, like, Derrick Henry, 200 yards. Tannehill dropping bombs, running over our guys on the goal line. Maybe we just need to go all in on this defense thing. So, look, they've got a pretty good defense when you combine these. You know, Peters was there last year in the playoffs, but, like, since last year's playoffs, they've added Ngakoue, who had, what, 4 sacks, I think, in 6 games in Minnesota, or was it 6 sacks in 4 games? What did he have? I think it was 4 and 6. I think he's played every game there, so 4 and 6. They added Calais Campbell, like I said, a really good defensive tackle. And don't forget Patrick Queen. They added him, like, first-round pick. Really good linebacker. So they've added 3 really key pieces to this defense since last year's playoffs. The defense got a lot of talent on it when you add in Marlon Humphrey and Matthew Judon. That's a good defense. It's good enough defense if the Ravens could go back to just running the ball and, you know, turning some clock and doing enough on offense. Like, you don't even need Lamar to be MVP. You just need Lamar to be game manager now, which is pretty scary considering he is an MVP, although this year he's been more of a game manager at times. So some big NFL news. The Ravens loading up, stocking up.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if him being the game manager, what it takes for him to win in the playoffs, I mean, I'm sure they'd take that.
Jared writes in saying he's crossing his fingers that the Hawks don't sign AB. Our team chemistry is through the roof right now, and he would only hurt that.
I mean, I don't know if he necessarily can help it.
I mean, that's the question Draven had. Does it even help him? I mean, like, to me, if you can get a top 10 receiver and he's on his best behavior, then it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, just think, in this comparison, maybe you don't feel like it's worth it. Maybe you think it's a stupid comparison, but, like, think about the 2007 Patriots. Randy Moss came out of Oakland with a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
He pretty much quit on Oakland, was a distraction, you know, to the point where you could get him for a fourth-round pick. And you unlocked him, and all of a sudden you had a historic offense, and, you know, he was on his best behavior because he was in a winning culture.
Yeah.
And he was playing for a quarterback he respected and liked. And then that offense went to new levels. Now, they didn't win a Super Bowl, so, I mean, whether or not it paid the ultimate prize, I guess you could argue that, but it wasn't the offense's fault. Although they did only score 14 points, so maybe it was the offense's fault. I don't know. But like, you know, that's adding a top 10 receiver and then just hoping that he is on his best behavior and completely unlocks your quarterback in your offense. Like, can Antonio Brown do that? Is he as good as Randy Moss? I mean, I don't know. Antonio Brown before a year layoff was probably close to Randy Moss, right? I mean, especially when you look at their career. Now, not their physical skills. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, Randy Moss was, you know, a unique
monster.
Yeah, yeah. Unique monster of speed, athleticism, and size. Yeah. Antonio Brown's numbers were just as good as Randy Moss's, if not better. I mean, before his layoff, Antonio Brown, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't he on pace to, like, beat Jerry Rice in terms of his numbers?
Yeah, he was unreal with the numbers he was putting up. I mean, consensus top three receiver. Like, right. You know, people would have their debates, but yeah, it was unquestioned that he was in the top three.
Now, whether or not it's going to fix the Seahawks, like I said, their defense to me is the problem. And that's what, if they come up short, it'll be the defense. But, like I said, if you can get a cheap top 10 receiver, and you have two top 10 receivers with him and Metcalf, oof, be pretty tough. And apparently the Jets are preparing for a fire sale.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets, quote, probably couldn't turn down a second-round pick for Quinnen Williams. But haven't had a serious offer. Didn't they just pick Quinnen Williams like in the top of the first round?
Yeah.
Was he like a top 10 pick
two years ago? I'm pretty sure he was.
2 years ago, yeah. He was. I know he went top 10. I look at that draft.
I don't know what pick, but yeah, no. He was top 10, number six,
I thought. But like I might be misremembering. But like you look, and you know, we had the percentage yesterday, right, of the highest run stop by defensive tackles.
Williams was on one of those.
Big Jeffrey Simmons was number one, but like down at number five was Quinnen Williams. I mean, he's a really good defensive tackle, especially if somebody needing to stop the run.
Jeez, that feels like one of those guys you would kind of hope to have along with your rebuild.
I mean, I'd give a number two pick for him, like even for the Titans. Yeah. I'd just add to the defensive line. That guy's a stud.
Yeah.
Like any team should be looking for a good young defensive tackle. Those guys aren't easy to find.
Yeah, you're not going to draft somebody in the second round that's that good.
Right.
That you know is going to be that good.
Right.
Necessarily, so.
Wow, jeez. The third pick.
Okay. Third pick. Yeah.
I was going to say, when
third
I said.
Yeah, I was thinking top five.
When I said six, I was like, I don't know when the Jets haven't picked in the top five recently, so it had to be higher than that.
That was last year.
Last year?
Kyler Murray, Daniel Jones are on the
draft class.
So he was a rookie last year.
Holy cow.
Who got drafted around him?
So it was Kyler Murray 1, Nick Bosa 2, then Quinnen Williams, Clelin Ferrell.
For the Raiders, right?
They should have drafted.
Devin White went 5, Daniel Jones 6, Josh Allen 7. TJ Hockenson went 8 as a tight end.
I do remember him going 8,
I thought he was going to be a stud.
Yeah, he's not quite been that level, but.
Who got picked right after Hockenson, like in a couple spots?
Let's see, Ed Oliver went defensive tackle.
I wanted Ed Oliver so bad for the Falcons.
He's number 8 on this run stop list.
I wanted him so bad for the Falcons.
Devin Bush also.
If I'm a team, I'm calling for Quinnen Williams right now. I'm trying to.
There's some good top 10 linebackers there.
Yeah,
Bush and White. Mm. But second round pick for Williams. Absolutely, I'd do that any day of the week.
Any team, because like I said, he lines up with any type of timeline in terms of, do you want to win now? Okay, well, he's really good now. Do you want to be good in 2 or 3 years? Okay, he's a good young player.
Still, first round picks, he'll have his fifth round option, all that stuff. What's his second year now? You got two more years of cheap, three years.
One more year of control. We are off and running in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Pick you up a 6-pack, a 12-pack of White Claw if you're out at the bar. Drink some White Claw. Snap us a picture. Show us. We like to show the people that, hey, we are bringing you money in. Our audience is drinking White Claw. Here's some proof. They're sending it to us. Made pure, only 100 calories. Ditch the beer belly bloat. Always drink responsibly. Talk sports on Fan Run Radio. We'll be back on the other side. Hey, it's... All right, what else we got for today? We got Jordan Ajani coming on the G3 Help Me Hotlines at 1:30. We'll talk some NFL. The Zozo Championship teeing off in Vegas. Tiger Woods trying to defend his championship. Got a pretty good golf field. Yeah, it's a pretty good golf lineup. Got some college football tonight, Arkansas State, App State.
Ooh.
Don't even say anything. Hey, those are two teams that I don't want to hear your thoughts about. Arkansas State and App State, no thanks. You just
I know there's somebody he loves in that game, too.
I was going to bring that up sometime.
Oh,
just
no.
Keep that to yourself. I don't want to hear anything.
13 more, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Who all's out for the Eagles tonight? It seems like they got a lot of people out. It seems like the Eagles are just constantly hurt.
I know they're getting DeSean Jackson back.
And then when you add what goes on with the 76ers, it's Philadelphia always hurt. Zach Ertz has been put on the injured reserve because of his ankle.
Oof.
So he'll miss at least 3 to 4 weeks. If that's your fantasy tight end, sorry, apologies. He hasn't been very good this year. But now he's going to be out for 3 or 4 weeks.
Yep.
Which, I mean, for the Eagles, I mean, they're getting ready to play two of their most important games against the Giants and Cowboys.
Yeah.
And then the Giants again. Like, they got 3 straight divisional games.
Trying to get that first place spot.
It's crazy how
David gets so frustrated when we talk about the
it's crazy how big this game is tonight. I mean, Eagles Giants is a big game. It's really stupid, but it's a big game.
Oh, that division just cracks me up.
Well, how do you feel being in the division? Because I feel like if I'm in the division, I'm like, you know what? It sucks, but we got a good chance of winning it.
You want to trade spots? You're going to have our division.
It's almost more embarrassing. Like, do you really want to win this division and go host a playoff game and go get killed? Like,
again, we talked about it yesterday. Yeah, it might have been off the air, but the teams that have won the division like with, like, 500 records or worse, they usually win that first playoff game. It's such a
Marshawn Lynch and the Beastquake.
You got Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for the reminder. That guy, the overpaid running back, the fat and slow overpaid running back. Thanks.
This is
like, he can ever pull off a beast mode run like that. Come on.
He can't make it that far down the field. This ESPN article says a 4-win NFC East champ question mark? How it could happen plus predictions. Now that would be crazy.
That's embarrassing.
That is wild, but that's even something somebody had to type.
They should not allow an NFC East team to get in.
Come on, are you saying this as a defense mechanism? Because I feel like I would just be like, you know what, we gotta wear it. Like, it happens to everybody. The AFC South sucked for a while. The NFC West used to be a laughing stock, and now
Yeah.
You know, now it's the best division in football. Like, it happens.
It does.
It's cyclical. Now, I feel like the NFC East has been down for like 3 years, but.
A couple years now.
At least 3 years.
It's cyclical. I mean, I feel like 9-7 has won that division like the last 3 years, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Eagles were 9-7. Let's see. Dallas, they went 10-6 the year before.
Okay.
And won it. And I think the year before that was the Eagles Super Bowl, so.
Okay. I want to say they were 9-7. Then were they not 9-7? Never mind. They were 13.
Yeah,
they were like 13-3, and they won the Super Bowl.
They had a good year that year.
This is just a defense mechanism in case you don't win the division? Because it would be really embarrassing to lose the division. Like, it would be embarrassing to lose.
I don't know. I'd like, okay, even if we win the division, like, how accomplished am I going to feel? Going 7-9, winning this division with a backup quarterback and getting beat in the wild card. Like, is that a good season? Like, think about it for Mike McCarthy's standpoint. Will we look at that year and be like, man, Mike McCarthy, he won the division. What a coach. He really improved from Jason Garrett. It's like, no.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's not like making a bowl game in college football. I feel like making the playoffs is making the playoffs. Like, in the grand scheme of things, is that not the goal of every NFL team? Like, I mean, maybe the Cowboys thought they had Super Bowl aspirations this year. I mean, I guess I kind of thought they had a chance of winning the NFC. Yeah, I picked them to win the NFC at one point in the preseason, which is really dumb. Let's forget I said that. But, you know, I feel like just making the playoffs and getting a home game, like, Jerry would be happy with that.
Mm-hmm. So who would they play? They'd probably play the...
They'd play the best wild card team, which would probably be like
the Saints or the Bucks.
The Saints or the Bucks, yeah. Probably whoever loses that division in the
Falcons,
NFC South.
All right, cool. All right, I'll take it.
I guess it could be like the Cardinals.
I mean,
if they reel off a few wins.
I would say it's more likely to be like the Rams or 49ers, but I don't know.
Bears. Yeah, it could be
Bears,
the 49ers.
Maybe it could be the Bears, I guess. Yeah. Hell.
Bears are 5-1.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I would imagine it would be whoever loses between the Saints and Bucks. Or Falcons.
We coming.
Bears, Cowboys.
Doubt us if you want.
That'd be an exhilarating game.
Are we ending this after Matt Stafford comes back down to Georgia this weekend for the first time and gets a win?
Oh, boy. It's going to be so funny. I'm going to be in the stands laughing at Matt as he keeps throwing interceptions.
Are we ending that this week? Will you quit saying that if you lose to the Lions this week?
Probably.
Okay. I need a yes or no. Will you stop with the Falcons stuff if the Lions come in and beat you on Sunday? I need to know. I'll go all in. I'll go all in with the Lions. I will root for the Lions so hard if you would just promise to stop if you take a loss.
Yeah. Okay.
You're done.
I'll commit to being done if the Lions beat us this week.
Okay.
But the Lions could be all right. I don't know. Maybe 10-6 isn't so bad.
I think the Lions are going to win this weekend, to be honest.
All right. Hayden said they're going to win, so Falcons, all right. Let's ride.
Congratulations.
Do you know the Falcons have given up the most points to quarterbacks this year in fantasy?
Yes, I do. I've watched every game.
A lot. Like by 5 points.
I mean, they gave up like 500 everybody throws, yards to Dak.
Yeah,
right?
Everybody throws for 350 plus on us. I am aware. And you thought our run defense was the problem. Picking Madison as his fantasy guy.
Is the run defense good or is it like that?
It's pretty solid.
Or is it like that time in 2017 when we talked about how good our secondary was here at Tennessee because our run defense was
terrible.
Dead last in the country?
It's a little bit of both. I mean,
we're like, hey, we got no fly zone. We got the third best pass defense in the country.
You saw Grady Jarrett's numbers. Grady Jarrett's a good run defender. Tyler Davidson's also known for his run defense.
I don't really care. I was just wondering.
But no, it's solid. People also are just passing on us, but also,
more rhetorical.
Blowing those leagues, people are coming from behind throwing, you know.
But you'll commit. It'll be over if the Falcons lose to the Lions this week.
97% yes.
No, I need 100% yes. It'll be over until you at least get back to one game under 500.
That's where we'll be going into our bye week.
That's what I'm saying. I'll be fair. Like, just give me a 3-week break of it if you lose to the Lions.
Okay.
And then I'll let you go back when you're 5-6. You can get back on the boat.
All right. Deal. Okay. I'll take that.
All right. It does have to be sickening for all the other teams to look and be like, hey, if we were just in the NFC East, we could have a chance to win the division.
Yeah.
There's going to be a 9-7, maybe even potentially a 10-6 team that doesn't make the playoffs.
I do think that the expanded playoffs will limit that.
Probably.
Because, I mean, there has been years where like a six seed has been, a 6 seed has gotten in and the 7 seed's been like 10-6 and not gotten in. And you'd be pretty sick about that. But with the 7 seeds, like, can't really get mad if you get left out as an 8 seed. You know what I mean? If you can't be at least better than half of the division or the conference, I guess, then you can't be. Now you can make the argument if you have a 4 seed, or I guess it'd be a 5 seed, that is 12-4 or 11-5. I mean, because it's possible that the Bucks or Saints could go 11-5 and lose the division. Like, they could be upset. Kind of like what happened with the Saints that year. They had to go to Seattle and play in front of that crazy Seattle crowd. You know, the beast mode run happened, the earthquake happened, and all that stuff. And, you could be mad about that if the Saints have to go 11-5, then go play the Cowboys. Although, you get to play the Cowboys. So going on the road will stink, but you get to play the Cowboys or the Eagles or the football team. Or the Giants, which, by the way, the football team said they are going to keep their name probably for next year, too. Which, I mean, like, that's a European thing, right? I mean, like, there's a lot of soccer clubs just called, like, football club, right?
Yeah, FC.
Like, yeah, there's just people use, like, FC across, like, the globe, right?
Yeah. Like, the Hawks even went to the basketball club. You know, they still got the Hawks, but... Atlanta Hawks Basketball Club.
Maybe they'll just stay as a football team. FT. All right, let's get a quick break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour one. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. Heard Russell talking about the high school player of the week. Just want everybody to know that if my McMahon County Cherokees win on Friday night against Maryville, that I will be high school football guy on Monday just for a little bit.
There we go.
Just for a little bit. If they lose, I'll go back to ignoring it and pretending like I don't care. I mean, I'm not pretending like I don't care. I don't care. But I'll pretend I care.
You know any players on the team?
I know 0 players on the team.
Pretty sure they have an All-State running back.
Yeah, yep. He was a sophomore. They had a couple good like sophomore running backs last year that are now good, or maybe they were juniors last year. They've been good for the last couple years.
This year.
They've been good for the last couple years. I know they got like an offensive lineman that went locally viral because like he could like jump out of the pool. You ever see those guys like jump like out of the water onto the like the side of the pool or whatever?
Never seen an offensive lineman do it though.
Yeah, I guess that's why he went a little bit viral. But like they're like, oh, give him a scholarship offer because of this. And I don't know if it works that way, but no, I don't know any of the players. I know, like I said, they got a good running back, and I've been sort of kind of checking their scores on Fridays and say they've been beating people like 50-0, and then I'll ask you or somebody else, and they'll be like, oh no, that team's not any good. Well, I'm like, well, I get that.
Well, William Blunt's
terrible, huh?
William Blunt's bad.
Well, yeah, but like, you know, they've beaten a lot of teams that I've asked you, like, oh, no, they're not any good either.
I feel like there's not that many good teams.
Well, granted, no one says that when Maryville beats those teams by 50, so, I mean.
I will.
Good when Maryville beats them, I guess, but, you know, I think Mann beats them.
Like, Ottawa this year's not good.
I just
that surprised me. They were good when I was in high school.
They're like 3-5, I think.
I mean, I believe you. I'm not questioning. I'm just saying it surprised me because they were good.
Yeah, they used to be really good.
Hmm.
Apparently, Maryville hasn't lost a region game in 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Seems a little ridiculous. Maryville cheats, though, right?
Yeah.
They cheat. It's kind of thought, right?
Mm-hmm. How do they cheat in high school football? They just recruiting people?
I think that's what the accusations
are. Is that the only school that does that here?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't.
We got like three schools that used to do that all the time.
I don't know enough about the high school landscape. Those people say Catholic.
Catholic
well.
Used to get accused of it, but they're in like the.
Now they're private.
So they're in the private school league, like, and they get their.
Now they can do scholarships, right, or no?
Yeah, and they get killed every week now. So.
Like, you remember like Austin Smith that came up here? He used to go to my high school, but when they realized he was good, he ended up coming up here and played defensive end for a minute, linebacker. So he didn't pan out here. But
white guy?
No.
Oh no.
No, but he played up here for
a white guy too.
He played up here for a minute, but like
it was a fullback, right? Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Smith, he ended up with the Saints for a little bit.
Yeah. He's number 40, I think.
Yeah,
I know who y'all are talking about. I don't think that guy's first name was Austin though.
I don't know.
But, yeah, the guy, like, he transferred schools because, like, there were schools you would go to once you realized you were good, and everybody would always, like, funnel to those schools.
Sure.
So he went to, like, Buford, but he started out in my high school, and, yeah, they always find a way to get to the other good schools, you know.
Well, please just note that if...
Let's check up on my high school.
Please just note that if McMahon beats Maryville this week, I will be high school football guy on Monday. But if not, I will go back.
And then we're going to go to the playoffs.
Austin Johnson was the fullback. Appreciate John for sending that in.
Austin Johnson.
Appreciate you, dog.
What are you about to say, Hayden?
We're going to go to the playoff game together, me and you. Or we should all go just to the show together. We'll go to the McMahon playoff game.
No.
Why not?
No.
Well, we'll be number one seed.
Number one in state. You know, I got to be honest. Last year, I got a little disappointed because they were pretty good, and then they got their ass beat by, like, Bearden in the playoff. I was like, how the hell did that happen? Because they killed Bearden in the regular season, and then they lost to him in the playoff. I was like, how the hell did that happen? So I got my guard up with this high school team. These 16-year-old boys. Who knows what goes on? Who knows what will go on between their lives between now and the game?
Well.
This high school football segment was brought to you by a gambling website. FanDuel Sportsbook. Use the promo code TALKSPORT. Sign up, register, verify your account. No deposit required, and you'll get $50 in free site credits. Like I said, use the promo code TALKSPORT so we get credit. You get a $50 free credit. And then when sports gambling goes live in Tennessee, you can make some money. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one online betting site. Number one for a reason. Speaking of number one, our number one is over. Our number two is coming your way. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Your